Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this February 8th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our good friend, Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension Madison. Talk a little 4-H with Laura. Right now, we have in with us mayoral candidate, Matt Zacher. Matt, good to have you with us.
Thank you, James. Thanks for having me.
Got a couple of questions for you, Matt, and they are going to be the same questions that we asked our other candidates. For those that don't know, we have a primary being held on February 20th to narrow down the field to two candidates for our Wisconsin Rapids mayor. We have four possible candidates. This will get down to two after February 20th. Mayor Blazer and I have sat down many times and talked about this, and one of the things that is noteworthy and is going to be a little different for you, Matt, than our other candidates is that you got an endorsement from currently sitting Mayor Blazer. So I'm curious, before we go too deep into things, Matt, what that endorsement means for you, and did you handle things any differently with the campaign?
No. The campaign is I'm going to run a full-on campaign, and I have told many people this already. Like, let's just say I get elected, and if I make through the two-year term, if I run again and nobody runs against me, I'm going to run the same full-on campaign because I'm not going to take the residents and voters for granted.
Right on.
With Shane, Shane and I knew each other from when our kids were in karate and just learned about what we were doing and helped each other, you know, through business ideas and just bouncing ideas off each other. And over the years, we've just, you know, grown in that sense. And when there is an opening for, you know, to run for council, he kind of talked to me about it, and I was interested. My wife was interested. She knew I was kind of gearing up towards that kind of thing, and I worked towards it. So I appreciate the fact that Shane is putting the trust in me to take the reins again.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to bust my tail to make sure that I don't let him down. Or if you, I have a few other endorsements I'd like to throw out there. Our previous mayor, Jerry Bach, has endorsed me. Our previous mayor, Mary Jo Carson, has endorsed me. Our sheriff, Sean Becker, has endorsed me. Kurt Hoyer, who I respect greatly for the work he's done in the community, has endorsed me. I've had aldermen, current aldermen, that are, you know, working with me through these things. And a lot of businesses are really reaching out and, you know, helping me learn the ropes here.
When it comes to not talking to you, the politician, Matt, talking to the human being, Matt, what does that mean to you to get those endorsements?
Well, I'm just a human in the end. You know, I'm a guy that grew up from being a kid, and you know, you always want to work hard and get some recognition for what you do. But in the end, you know, there is a time when I kind of came to the understanding that that's not always going to be there readily. It's not what I would say in America. It's not necessarily how we, you know, we work hard and you just do it because that's what you do.
Yeah.
But then I was talking with my wife, Jenny, the other day, and she says, well, wouldn't you think that all of these people are saying, hey, good job.
It's got to be pretty humbling.
We trust you.
Yeah.
And it's very, very humbling. And I appreciate that from everybody.
Let's get to know you a little bit, Matt. Tell us a little bit of your background, where you're from, some of that.
So I was born in Milwaukee, but moved to New Berlin outside of Milwaukee. Grew up in New Berlin, went to Waukesha Catholic Memorial for high school. After high school, I joined the military, ended up in the 101st Airborne, did a little under 2 years in Desert Storm. After that, I pretty quickly was able to get out a little bit early after the Desert Storm and started at UW Milwaukee. I finished my master's degree in social work, juvenile corrections, and about 5 years, and started working different jobs as a correctional officer, and then went into a couple of different programs there. I did an awesome one in Utah where I took kids out into the wilderness and as a different alternative to going to, you know, the institution. Because I'd been in the institution, and, you know, certainly it's hard to reach them when they're in there. So, and then I ended up traveling overseas for a little bit, doing some backpacking there because I had the time to do it. When I got back, I took a job at Messmer Preparatory Catholic School in Milwaukee. That's where Jenny and I met back up. She was in the Peace Corps for three years. And decided, you know, to get married and bought a house there. And started having children, mm-hmm. and that's when we kind of found a place up here because we were outgrowing, you know, that area. And that we had Martin at the time, Lydia on the way, Simon came soon after, and Vivian came 4 years later. We moved up here. I was at first looking for work in social work, probably at the county level. But I also had the opportunity to join Express Recycling, which was in its early stages, about 5 months in. And in reality, that's what I wanted to do. But at the same time, I wanted to bide my time to be able to do it properly. But I did, was able to join with my father-in-law, Joe Kazicki, who and mother-in-law, Pat Kazicki, who started the business. And they were nice enough to allow us to join and, you know, kind of buy in over time, and then we were able to buy them out when they wanted to retire again. Now it's me and my brother, who are married to Jenny and Ann, who are their daughters.
Right on, right on. That's awesome.
We're keeping that circle pretty tight, I
that's
guess.
That's pretty cool.
And then we, from there, you know, that's 18 years ago. So we've been growing that business ever since. We're up to 12 people. These guys and girls are phenomenal, and they're the ones that are allowing me to do it, to run for mayor and take the chance and the risk with their support.
Let's go right piggyback off of that. Why run for mayor?
So, yeah, again, I went to each one of the folks in that business in Express Recycling and said, if you guys say no, if you don't want me to lose that time with you guys, and they all said, yes, we got it. We'll take care of it. So they are, you know, running the show and taking care of the people properly. It's all, you know, Express Recycling is taking a step back, looking at the credentials and the things that I've done. I never really made a decision in my life that I would do service work for my career path.
Yeah.
But in the end, most of it is, and even outside of, you know, having a for-profit business, but that business really revolves around service for the community and reaching out, taking care of people, building relationships. And we did expand into Stevens Point, and then we built a processing center across from Skate City at 36th Street. And it's been great, and that's where we're able to bring these people in. And, you know, it takes a while to find the right people, but we found, like, the best people we could possibly, you know, be so thankful for. So,
what makes you qualified for the position? What do you feel you can bring to the position?
Well, I would say just by the nature of how God built me. I've always been a person that strives for integrity, I guess. And through that striving for integrity, people ultimately trust you. And in business, you got to be trustworthy. In social work, you have to be trustworthy if you want to make any progress. And then getting into being an alderman, I did do some time with the Chamber of Commerce, being on their board. I chaired the board for a couple of years. We also, from 2010 to 2020, Dean Veneman and Mike Erminski and myself started a company, a nonprofit 501c3 called Sustainable Operations and Recycling. We did a lot of great things. It never blew up into anything huge, but we were able to do some things outside of the for-profit realm. And I certainly learning about how a nonprofit runs and what it takes to do that. And so all these things have been built on relationships. And I see that running the city for 3 years, being an alderman, being in the committees, being the chair of the Finance and Property Committee for the last 2 years, it's all about building relationships. If people don't trust you, they're not going to talk to you. And I feel like, you know, there's been some stuff said lately, you know, again, social media is what it is. It's, you got to keep it at arm's length, but at the same time, it's out there. And depending on who's listening to it, they could either be learning good stuff or they can be learning a lot of stuff that's not even true. But they don't know any different because it's social media. But at the same time, we're, you know, there's been stuff said about special interests and I think what what's being portrayed is that we, like, I'm some kind of a special interest kind of person. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. But because in the end, I'm just a guy. You know, and I built the relationships with my family, with the people that work for us, so that they trust enough to, you know, keep everything going while I'm doing this. You work with the other aldermen, you work with the mayor, you work with all the department heads, you work with the businesses in the community, whether they're big or small, doesn't really matter. All the residents, you know, like, it's a huge responsibility. I do feel like it's, you know, it's above and beyond what I've done up to this point, but at the same time, everything I've done has, you know, uniquely qualified me to take on this role at this point in time. And I look forward to the effort. It's 230 employees-ish, you know, $42 million budget. It's bigger than what I've done before. but I'm willing to take it on. And, yeah. and I think that for sure I'm the guy that's going to do it and do it well.
Speaking with mayoral candidate Matt Zacher, and Matt, just one last question for you. What is or is there anything specific or any specific actions you would like to take to improve the city going forward? Or is that something that you're kind of going to wait and see? You have to kind of be in the job to do to find out.
Well, there's a few platform things that I want to that I can, you know, go across. And again, these are things that have just always been there and things that I've actually worked on through the chamber and in other ways trying to work with different groups in the city. But the first one is be able to take a deep dive on the departments without micromanaging. Again, it comes down to relationships. I'm not here I think everybody means well and everybody works hard to do the best they can in that position. So when I say take a deep dive, I'm just very fiscally conservative. Mm-hmm. I've always been that way. Ultimately, I think everybody should be that way. Mm-hmm. I think our community needs to be as financially sound as possible as we move into these next decades, because I have no idea what's coming from the top down. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that, and we're going to find out what we can do to get our new road construction inside the operation budget and see if we can expand that so that we can get more of these roads done. Keeping in mind, for everybody listening, there are state roads that are out there that are not necessarily our responsibility, and they're in rough shape, but we do what we can to make sure that people can keep driving on them until the state takes action on those, which will come in the future at some point in time.
Any final thoughts, Matt, before we let you go?
Just to say what there's a few other things. One is that I want to bring together the people of the community and the people working in the city. There's a divide in there, and not everybody realizes it, but the closer we can come together and say we are working on the same page, like we all need to be understanding each other and learning what needs to be done and then working together so we're not bad-mouthing each other behind the scenes and all those things. The third thing that I want to really dive into is how to bring the schools, the MSTC, the Chamber of Commerce, the city, the foundations that are in town and bring the right people together to build a more comprehensive entrepreneurial program for young people, middle, and adults. That we need to know how to handle our finances. We need to know how to look at the world and go after things that are bigger than just Wisconsin Rapids, because it ultimately is a one world right now, and we can have jobs here and build our income base, for the people here while working outside of the community. And the fourth thing would be to just stay in touch with be pleasantly assertive in the whole realm of what's going on with the mills, because we do not want to be stuck with empty buildings and when it's all said and done. Yeah. Again, it's outside of our realm to the most part, but if you can just kind of insert yourself and be involved in the conversation, you hope, have a better chance at making things turn out to be good.
The primary for Wisconsin Rapids mayor will be held February 20th. You can find out more and the information you need to vote. Get out there and vote. Be informed and vote. Everybody go to wirapids.org for more information to find out where your polling place is, and plenty more at wirapids.org. Matt, thank you again for the time.
Thank you for the time, James. Nice to meet you.
And good to meet you, too. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Melissa Kay, and this is an interview where I spoke with Nikki Lucht, community health planner for the Wood County Health Department. We're discussing the community health assessment survey results. This survey took place in Wood County between September and December of 2023. We spoke on February 1st. And here is the interview. So the collection process, you said you received the most responses ever. And why do you think that the responses increased so much this time? Did you use a different process? Did you have it on different platforms? How did that play out?
So I think the big difference this time around is we set a huge goal for ourselves. We set a goal of 3,000, which was a super lofty goal. But my supervisor is always the one like reaching for the stars. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if we're going to get that. And we did. We exceeded that. But I think two of the big things, we reached out to a lot of community partners who then sent the email out to their listservs or put flyers out. We even did some of our staff like almost did canvassing in a way, like they would go to different businesses, see if they would have some flyers that they would set out. And then we have community health workers through a grant right now. And those are folks that typically live within the community and have a relationship with a lot of people in the community. So we have two folks in the Hmong community, two in the Hispanic Latinx community, and two from the Ho-Chunk community. So those are populations that we might not have had as strong of a relationship before, but now we have staff who live within those communities and are from those communities. So they have that trust, and we're able to reach out to people that we may not have reached before. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing, we also did a lot of vaccine clinics through some funding, and those were at different businesses and factories. So we had our community health workers bring paper copies to those, and we got a lot of responses at those as well, which was really great.
Awesome. Did you find some reticence to respond to the questionnaire, whether it's paper copy or online, with people being worried about sharing information?
No, not really. We don't really ask much identifying information. There is a demographic section, but no way to tie it back to a person. Honestly, the biggest reluctance was just around how long it was. And we really did try to cut it down this time. But for folks who were filling it out in person, the paper copies, we definitely heard that it would be better if it was shorter in the future. So we'll work on that.
Well, it's hard to gather the scope of information that you're looking for and make it shorter.
Exactly.
Sharing the draft that you did with me, it's impressive the amount of information that you collected.
Yeah, we do it every 3 years. It is a requirement by the state of Wisconsin through the Department of Health Services. So health departments have to complete it once every 5 years, and hospitals have to complete it as a requirement from the IRS, and they have to do it every 3 years. So we've actually partnered with Marshfield and Aspyrus so that we can all work together and have a joint effort in doing that survey instead of all three of us doing our own separate surveys and over-surveying the community.
Yeah.
Trying not to duplicate efforts.
That's smart.
So this is really helpful data that we can then share with community partners, you know, places like United Way, for example, and that can help shape some of the programs that they are offering and see where the needs really are in the community. And this is all from folks out in the community, not just us looking at like secondary data or us just kind of what we see. It's really getting the voice from the community members, and they know best what concerns they mm-hmm. have.
Now, one of the things that you responded in here that the top concerns, residents should have the strongest voice when it comes to decision-making. What do you mean decision-making regarding what?
So decision-making regarding implementing and creating our community health improvement plan. So from this data, we create a community health assessment report that is really just a compilation of all of the data, shows kind of the top health issues and concerns in Wood County. And then from that, we will develop what's called a community health improvement plan, or we refer to as a CHIP. And that's really our strategic plan that guides our work for the next 3 years. So that's where we create the different objectives and activities that we as a health department and then the hospital systems also will work on in the community for the next 3 years. So trying to gather as much info as we can from the community to know, you know, these are the top issues and these are the strategies that we think would be helpful.
So looking at some of those top issues, mental health, suicide, drug use, job, livable wages. Now, those first two obviously pertain to the healthcare community, hospitals, Wood Care health departments. Or are you still developing the plan to tackle some of these issues? I mean, these ones have been ongoing for decades.
Yeah, mental health and substance use always rise to the top. At least they have in our last few cycles of this, which are big, big issues. However, there really has been a shift in the public health world, and I would say even the healthcare community too, to tackle these bigger determinants of health that we might not have thought of before as impacting health, but they really do. So things like the income, jobs with livable wages, you know, if you don't have a job that's paying you enough money to cover your basic needs, you probably aren't worrying about getting to the gym to get an exercise in, or you're not thinking, you know, this food is healthier than this one. You're just thinking like, what can I buy with the wages that I have this week so that I still have enough left to cover the rest of my bills? So things like transportation, economics, those bigger things, housing, have really rose to the top as more people are realizing the impacts they have on health. And I think COVID, the pandemic, really brought that more to light for a lot of people too, when we saw a lot of the struggles because of those issues.
So do you feel that the, I don't want to say responsibility, but maybe the scope of what healthcare means and what the healthcare industry does is going to broaden as some of these things come more to light?
I think so. I think it, I mean, it'll be a slow shift likely. But I know like one thing that we have been trying to figure out with healthcare partners is around transportation. You know, a lot of people are missing appointments. We're not able to get to their appointments because of the lack of transportation. So is there a way that we can partner as organizations and try to improve that? You know, I think that's probably something that will come to light in our next cycle. We, like I said, we haven't completed the community health improvement plan and that strategic plan yet. But that is an issue that we have been working on. I know in large places, you know, our bigger cities outside of Wisconsin, but some of those healthcare systems have focused on things like economic development or even housing. So
that's a big
yes.
Because affordable housing and safe housing is hard to come by.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one is another one that rose to the top as one of our big issues too here in Wood County.
And as we're having more open conversations and discussions around mental health, because I do feel like that has really shifted as well. And maybe the pandemic played a role in that to some extent, but I think it's just becoming more like this is an okay conversation for us to have. As far as, I mean, that's a good first step, but then trying to get an appointment to a mental health care provider, it can take 3 months or more before you can even get in. So how is that to, you know, are we just going to hire more mental health providers? Do we need more people going to school for mental health? What do you see?
I can't tell you the answer for that one. I'm not exactly sure. I can tell you that the data does show that Wood County has improved and gotten. So when you look at the ratio of population to mental health providers, Wood County has improved in that measure every year over like the last 10 years, I believe. So we are making progress. It's still not enough. We still are seeing mental health come to the top. But we're trying to look at other things outside of just those individual appointments that might impact health or your mental health. Like, we have what's called like a storytelling group, and I don't lead that group, so I don't know a ton about it, but I know it talks about how to share your story, how to talk to other people about mental health. We try to focus on policies and systems. So do workplaces have policies that allow people to take sick time if they're having a bad mental health day? Are workplaces supportive of that? Do they have, you know, the EAP or things like that? So there's a...
What is EAP?
I believe it's called Employee Assistance Program.
Oh, okay.
So through a lot of those, you can often get appointments before or until you're able to get them through your provider.
Okay.
You know, I know through Wood County, our EAP sends out like monthly newsletters that have different tips and things like that. So there's a lot of different small strategies outside of just going to a provider that can also have an impact.
There was a part of this survey that I was surprised by and enjoyed reading was the best parts of Wood County. So it was nice to include some very positive in there. And the top three that I noticed were the size of community, being near friends and family, and then the parks, trails, and green spaces. I thought that that was, what was the purpose in including, not, I mean, obviously it's a positive, but what was the purpose of including those questions in the survey?
Yeah, so we call those like our strengths or assets, and trying to think, we have these are our top health issues, but here's our strengths. How can we maybe take some of those strengths and take, combine that with the issues to help put some energy towards that? So one that I can think of potentially would be around obesity. One of our strengths is the parks and the trails. How can we capitalize on those to help tackle obesity, for example?
Well, and I know that there are some initiatives that I've seen more recently, like the library offering free passes to state parks and things like that. Is that kind of, I mean, I know our parks in the city are free and the trails are free, but don't you have to pay for like a bike pass to ride a bike on the trails?
Yes, you do. Our bike share program, we do have different campaigns sometimes where you can get a free ride. But yes, it there is a price for that. That would be we could partner through some of those local organizations to offer some more free rides to even get people to see like, oh, just ride once and see, oh, if it's something that they really like, then maybe they'll be willing to pay for it in the future.
Well, is there anything else that you want to share with me that we didn't cover?
I think the biggest thing would be if people are interested in following this work or want to get involved, we have a website. If you just look up Healthy People Wood County, you can find us. We have a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and we also have a website, healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. And we'd love to have anybody who's interested in joining come along.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.